So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Before we do that, real quick, we were just talking about what your take all my money expenditure would be, a la Mark Cuban putting even more money into his alma mater, Indiana's football team. And somebody said, a Houston Texans Super Bowl. And I can only, can you imagine what the Houston Texans winning a Super Bowl would be financially in the city of Houston?
Well, just everything associated with it.
Something's not associated with
it. Yeah, yeah, something's not.
Because in my mind, I started going to, what are the things that I think people would buy that aren't like the Texans team store and just getting the gear or things like that? And weirdly, and maybe this is just because I know they in Jacksonville, they got Trevor Lawrence one, but then also we were talking about one for Tatsuo Imai.
Yeah. Oh, a grill.
I'd get a grill just to do it, just off of the being ecstatic in the moment. Are there any other things that you think would just like not even like tangential?
You know what? You make a really good point. I think the whole H-Town thing would be even more so.
I think we go crazy with it in the city.
And people buying slabs. And
I think we'd go crazy with it. When was the last time? I mean, baseball-wise, obviously.
It's your identity, you know?
Yeah. I definitely think if they win a Super Bowl, and I know players all got grills and all that stuff, but I think the coaching staff should get grills. Coaching staff, Nick Caserio should get a grill. I think we should really focus on them.
Hey,
I mean, you see the diamond swarm up here on this banner. I feel like that's
it's easy to say players get a grill or, hey, white guy, get a grill. No, we should give the grill to the coaching staff.
Hey, what would the tattoo industry in this city be?
Oh, that would be big.
They're going to clean up.
Can you imagine?
I don't have any tattoos. What is like a bicep Texans 2026 Super Bowl champs? What would that cost?
I don't know. Text line 713-572-4610. I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah.
But just imagine, like, just the tattoo industry.
Yeah. Without question. Like, you know, do you remember when we did a show? I think it was I can't remember where it was, but we did a road show, and there was a gentleman with a Jeep that had the Love You Blue rap on it. Can you imagine how many of those we end up with?
Redoing their car?
Yeah, you're right.
Everything. The H-Town stuff, just the affiliated industries, or even not that closely affiliated, it would be incredible.
Yeah. So I love the thought. It starts with the Texans getting a win on Monday and then taking it on from there. Some other things. Let's go around the NFL. We mentioned this to start the show, but it's worth mentioning in this segment. The breaking news on the day is that the Miami Dolphins, after seeming like they were going to stand pat with Mike McDaniel, I have to make sure I say the right one because the Mike Micks are killing me in the league. Yeah. Mike McDaniel has been relieved of his duties there in Miami. And some might, I think the reporting was that, you know, Stephen Ross, after the season, met with Mike McDaniel and then took some time to ruminate and ultimately decided to move on. I think we tend to agree that it's probably more of, he saw that there was a particular big fish out there in John Harbaugh and decided, yeah, let's go for that as opposed to sticking with somebody that we're trying to give a secondary chance.
Yeah, I think the entire dynamic has changed of the coaching cycle with Harbaugh and some of these others, you know, that are out there. Let me ask you that. You said something earlier that I kind of just nodded my head, but now I'm starting to wonder. You said that Mike McDaniel kind of has to let the block cool a little bit.
I think it could
sit out a year. I don't know. I think he's so well respected as a play caller. One of these new hires, when you talk about 25% of the jobs out there and a lot of defensive minded coaches, you know, out there, they want that proven guy, not as a head coach, but as a coordinator.
Oh yeah, when I said sit out, I meant for a head coaching job.
Yeah, okay.
Offensive coordinator, he could jump right back in, but that's more on if he wants to. It's clear that he wants to be a head coach, and I think that if that ends up being his goal, if that's his aim. He might need to take a little time away, especially, and it's largely because I know schematically that he still got something. We were actually talking about this in a break earlier, Fig and John. We were talking about the fact that sometimes in the NFL or any sport, or I think more football, you have a coach that has found a element that's ahead of the game. I think of Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly was one of those dudes at Oregon who was like doing a lot of the, you know, the sports science of making sure dudes got rest, GPS tracking, things of that nature. When the rest of the league, when the rest of the sport caught up to him, you were looking and you were asking, where's the next development? And I'm not sure if that came for him. And so he fell to the pack in some ways. Mike McDaniel early on has had some schematic advantages, and when people have caught on to those, which we've seen with Tua Tagovailoa, he's found other ways to innovate. So it gives me a level of belief that he has that portion of it. The problem is he just don't know how to talk to people sometimes, at least when it's presented to the public. I think that he probably does a decent job with his players. I'm not certain, but the public portion of this, that still matters when you're the head man on a team, and I don't know how the remainder of the league looks at him in that regard.
You have to project. You have to project a certain image and persona, and what he projects is not that. It is not what you want. A lot of people want, I should say, in a head coach. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so he's out there. He creates another offensive-minded guy, though, in what feels like a less than stellar, or maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but a lesser pool of offensive coaching candidates in this particular cycle where it feels like it could be dominated by defensive guys. We'll see what that looks like. Speaking of offensive guys, maybe on the secondary level of this, did you see that the Bucks have fired Josh Grizzard?
Just came down.
The offensive coordinator that took over this year at the helm of the Buccaneers. And so for yet another year, I think it's the fourth or fifth straight year, they will have a new offensive coordinator. And that's actually funny because we were talking about the possibility or like the idea of hypothetically Nick Caley, do you, don't you move on from him? Should something happen? And of course, again, all hypothetical. How does looking over at the Bucks impact your thought there? Because you've seen them have a lot of turnover, not willingly with, you know, Canales going and getting a job, Liam Cohen getting a job. But they, for a number of times, maybe not as much this time around, were able to continue success and find more success year over year, even as they were switching coordinators.
Yeah, to me, it's slightly different because of what you said. These guys are getting head coaching jobs, and that's just the nature of being good. It's going to happen here. It has happened here. I think what they're looking for, they have a slightly different situation because they have a quarterback, but they don't necessarily have a long-term young quarterback, you know, and that's going to be the fit that they have to look for eventually.
You know? Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. Boy, the Chiefs do it again.
And
it's a very different way of doing it again than I think we would imagine. We're talking off the field here, obviously, because they're not playing playoff football. Yes, I said that very intentionally. But the Chiefs have had a rash in the last handful of years, actually more than handful, of off-the-field issues, particularly as it relates to domestic violence. And this one pops up again with a dude who's becoming a little bit of a trouble child, Rashee Rice, a partner or had gotten on social media, Instagram to be particular, and alleged that she had broken up with Rashee Rice a couple months ago, and she has two children with him. And alleged a level of violence had been done onto her by him with some photos.
Yeah.
The Chiefs put out a statement saying, quote, the club is aware of the allegations on social media and is in communication with the National Football League. We have no further comment at this time, close quote.
What really stands out to me is, number one, you just talked about it. It's the Chiefs again. You know, it's the Chiefs again. You know, where is there a disconnect in messaging and the type of culture or whatever it is you want to talk. We don't know any of this is true. I'm just saying there is another allegation. There is another allegation. It's the Chiefs. And secondly, and I think more importantly, it's Rashee Rice again. You know, it's Rashee Rice again.
The thing is, it's easier to look past it when you go into the Super Bowl and winning championships. Yeah. But when you ain't doing that, that's when the organization really looks bad.
I mean, there was the Dallas thing, right?
Yeah, he was racing fast cars in Dallas, ultimately caused a crash there. That's one of the things that he did as well. There's like 3 degrees that happen in my mind here. One of them is what you're talking about. Rashee Rice is a load-bearing figure, particularly because what has been one of the issues that this Chiefs team has had, even as they've been winning the last few years, was the wide receiving core hasn't been there, and you got to supply Patrick Mahomes, probably the greatest player in the NFL at this moment, with somebody to throw the football to. And he has existed as the best option when you talk about talent and youth combined. And this is another thing when it comes to the issues here. But is it weird that I don't think that this ends up being as much of the downfall of the Chiefs as they're trying to maintain a dynasty? than this other thing that's happening with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Andy Reid has fired their wide receiver coach, which does not sound like a big deal. Mm-hmm. But do you remember one of the questions I asked you a few weeks back when it came to Andy Reid, which was, is it possible that he's losing his fastball? Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, there's been thought that Andy Reid, he's established, he's not going to change his staff. And maybe I'm reaching. You could tell me that. Is him going into some of his assistants, firing those, a recognition of some of the things that we have is not working and we need to modernize or change a little bit in order to try and keep this thing going because the league is kind of changing? Did you realize there's only one Andy Reid disciple that's mm-hmm. still out here?
I did not.
In the coaching, the Andy Reid tree is actually kind of falling apart in some ways.
Well, it
although Nagy's going to get a job.
It is, but then that leads to the discussion of how much do they really do anyway? You know, you can go back to, it's always been Andy Reid. It's always his way. To answer your question, I don't think Andy Reid is necessarily losing his fastball. As recently as this year, we've seen him do some pretty incredible things with a shorthanded offense.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's the case. But I do think what you said is like what we have is not working, and just end it at that. I think this is just a head coach and offensive minded. Not what we have is not working, and maybe I'm losing my fastball or they're catching up to me. No, I think what we have is not working,
and we've got to make an adjustment. Yeah,
we got to make a change.
Well, I put that in the context of this. Yeah. I'm sure it sounds like how did Reggie get here from Rashee Rice having mm-hmm. a domestic violence allegation levied against him on social media. There's a lot of different things that the CEO head coach has to try and pull together.
Yes.
And then he's also a play caller, and he's had a number of these things. Mm-hmm. And they've managed to traverse these, to be fair, right? Even Andy Reid's son with the, you know, mm-hmm. drinking and driving and unfortunate death of a girl in that instance, right? The number of times that you've had players with allegations, things of that nature. They've managed to pull all those things together. But now you're also adding the on-field product having a little bit of a downturn. This could be part of what we see, and maybe I'm stretching, but this could be a part of what we're seeing as the end of the Chiefs being that dominant factor in the NFL on top of
it. I think there's a lot of factors that are leading to that, but the good news is they still have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. All right. Some other things around the NFL. We talked about, and I should have mentioned this yesterday, we talked about some of the the former players that are in the executive space. One of those being that got this conversation started in recently, Matt Ryan. CBS sports mm-hmm. analyst, or actually I think he's on one of the studio shows. He seems to be the leader in the clubhouse to take over the Atlanta Falcons' I think it's newly primed mm-hmm. President of football operations role. At first it sounded like he would have looked to do that job and the CBS job simultaneously, concurrently. It seems like that has shifted as reporting yesterday, or maybe even the day before, seemed to intimate that he's getting closer to having that job, and if and when he takes that job, he will solely focus on that, move away from CBS. Mm-hmm. So that becomes less of an issue. Mike Florio, you can simmer down. How do you like the possibility of Fox's Greg Olsen possibly doing that? He was on a podcast, and he was asked about the viability of this, and he said that he believes that he could do this, be an executive in this job. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I mentioned this a little bit yesterday. I don't mind these former players that are more recently, involved in the NFL on a day-to-day basis. I really don't mind these guys as almost like consultants, like Troy Aikman. You know, I know there's a conflict. It looks like a conflict of interest. If you're going to help hire the general manager, was it Miami? Wherever it was that they reached out to Troy Aikman. I don't mind you doing that. I think you can still do your job if you're not on their payroll, you know, like Tom Brady. If you're not an owner or you're not, you know, on their payroll, I think it matters. I think Greg Olsen, as a, quote, consultant, I guess, for lack of a better way. Now, I don't know if he's going to go full-time over there or not. If he does, then there would be a problem. But I do like the concept of having these. I mean, they are so plugged into the NFL, more so than some general managers are, because they know the players, they know the coaches, they know everything, and they hear the buzz at every level. You know,
the quote specifically on the Schrager Hour, Peter Schrager's podcast, there's no question in my mind that I could do it. My perspective on all of this, I don't necessarily think the playing career and ability to do the job necessarily go hand in hand. There are so many elements right now that go into managing and running an NFL front office or locker room or team.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind that I could do it, and I think I could do it well. Close quote. I do appreciate that there's an awareness for him that he's not just walking in here because I played the game, I can do this.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a good point that the analysts, at least the ones that do it really well, because I think that it's fair to acknowledge as well, mm-hmm. there's different levels of buy-in, put-in, work ethic in this analyst space as there is in any job.
Yeah.
And I think the ones that do it really well have an understanding of, you know, what good players look like, what good management looks like. They have communication amongst folks in the league.
The communication part to me is huge.
Yeah, I think so as well. Because if you're not tapped in those ways, I don't think that you have a good idea of how to jump in.
They know what's really going on from the locker room to the coaching rooms to the front office.
Could this be a trend that we see continue
on?
It
is. I mean, it is a trend.
Well, does two make a trend?
Well, it's four.
How do you figure?
But Brady's already there.
Yes.
Then you have Matt Ryan.
That one's pending, but yes.
Then you have Greg Olsen.
I think Greg Olsen is just commenting on it. I don't know if he's doing it.
At least in search of. And then you have Troy Aikman.
I don't know that Troy Aikman would actually step into the avenue of doing it.
But he's consulting, the hiring of a general manager.
All right. I feel like the
consultant part been around for a minute. Remember, that kind of happened here. Remember, they was talking to Tony Dungy.
Mm-hmm. It was Dungy.
Yeah.
I want to say there was another one, too, way back in the day. I'm trying. It was Dan Reeves.
Way back
in the day, Dan Reeves came in and consulted with Bob McNair.
It do seem like this stuff is more popular now, though, because I think I seen something with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like head coaching.
Well, he's interested anyway. Thing. He said that he's interested in coaching.
Yeah, but that wasn't a thing a few years ago.
I think it is a trend. And frankly, like I said, I don't mind it.
Did we just start a new thing? From the 832, J.J. Watt for Texans Player Personnel Director.
Let's go.
All right. Okay. All right, well, at least we done stopped trying to make him keep playing football.
Yeah. Remember, we thought it was crazy when it was it Josh McCown?
Yeah. But the Josh McCown thing wasn't that he couldn't do any of the jobs. It's that they was trying to make him,
a head coach.
Yeah. But it's not a crazy eye roll right now. It's just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Phillip Rivers, possible head coach candidate.
Well,
yeah.
I think there's people still eye rolling that to some degree.
Not like it was with Josh McCown. It was filling up segments.
Yeah,
was arguing over that.
From the 281, would Stephen A. Smith be a good consultant option for the NBA?
Just ask him.
No.
No, but ask him and he'll say yes.
Oh, he will say yes.
For the Knicks.
I would personally say no, but I guess reasonable minds could disagree in that moment. But there you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. We appreciate you rocking with us on this Thursday. Coming up next, the Rockets just barely come an overturned tip-in game winner away from winning in Portland. We could talk about that, but also, do we need to have a Jabari Smith Jr. conversation? Let's next. You're in the Loop.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here on Sports Radio 610, that's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Datatula. Figgy Fig on the ones and twos making it sound good. And you rolling with us on the text line 713-572-4610. Ooh, the Houston Rockets. It was a good, bad, ugly, everything kind of day to some degree. Actually, I don't know what the ugly would be. Well, I guess.
Well, the ugly was a call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that was a lot like the Aggie game the night before.
Wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
If you're asking, what are these guys talking about? Last night, the Rockets started their mini baseball series in Portland versus the Trailblazers. They had the game last night. They'll play again in Portland tomorrow evening. And so, like I said, a little mini baseball series, too, in the same town. It came down to a moment where the Rockets were looking for KD to make a little magic again. Not more than a week, I guess, from him making a little magic last time with a game winner. And he had a game winner earlier this week, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He does that now, doesn't he? And that was the expectation, is that he would do that. Missed Tari Eason with a putback tip that looked like he had silenced the Moda Center crowd after review. Unfortunately, just on his fingertips. And so instead of it being a 104-103 victory, it's a 103-102 loss for the Rockets on a night where they just couldn't buy a three.
No, they could not. And I referenced, it was a lot like the Auburn did the very same thing, although it was a deep three. The ball was just on their fingertips. Everybody rushed the floor. And after the review, it was like, nope. Not going to happen.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like being a sports fan is just the dumbest idea in the world.
Because it is.
Like, why did I sign up for this?
No, it is.
I was up at, 12-something at night, and with the excitement of the moment for it to be stripped away because the slightest bit of skin on his fingertip did not disconnect with the basketball.
We're all dumb.
Yeah, yes, we are. But at least we're dumb together, right? We it's the friends that we make along the way. That is the
the saving grace.
Yeah, it's a silver lining within all this is that we make friends along the way. Mm-hmm. But one of the friends that we have here with the Rockets is Jabari Smith Jr. And in watching this game, there's a number of things that occurred to me, you know, passing mm-hmm. thoughts, if you will. One of them was, sue me, but don't actually, I don't have money for a lawyer right now. One of them was that, oh, that's right, the Rockets have intentionally gotten a little bit older, and they're not always going to be the fastest and most athletic team on the court, and the Trailblazers absolutely looked like that. But where it really occurred to me to some degree was, oh, they are attacking Jabari Smith Jr. in a way that feels uncomfortable because Jabari is supposed to be one of those young, mm-hmm. athletic dudes that can score, that can defend. And the question occurred to me, do we need to have a Jabari Smith Jr. conversation? Because he's a starter that another team felt more than comfortable going at when that's supposed to be one of the things that he has in his bag.
Is this a bigger issue, though? Is this sort of trickle down from, number one, you don't have Alperen Şengün? But not only that,
sure.
You know, you've lost some guys in the middle. We've talked about this since before the season began, just how they're going to rotate, how they're going to guard defensively some of these bigs, how they're going to stretch, and teams are going to attack them. And do we need to have a Jabari Smith conversation? The answer would be yes, but I think it's bigger than that. You know, I think because he's the spot, the target, so to speak, that they had last night. But I think there's a lot of issues. I mean, they had a dominant rebounding game, the Rockets did.
Well, how dominant did it end up? Because in the course of it, they were leading, but I knew that Donovan Klingon, who was their big offensive rebounder, it's so weird, as I press pause on the statement that I was actually going to be making. It's so weird to come into a game, and I know that I'm a sicko because of this, and I go, oh, man, this offensive rebounding battle between Klingon and Steven Adams.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
But, yeah, it's you know,
what was the total? I thought it felt from what I was looking at, and I didn't stay up. I watched mostly, you know, highlights and such this morning, but it felt like there was a...
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They were controlling.
Yeah, they definitely had a lead at one point. I don't know what it ended up with because at a certain point, mm-hmm. I was more paying attention and favoring what the flow of the game was. But the Rockets ended up with 57 rebounds to... the Trailblazers, if my computer actually wants to comply here, which it doesn't. Don't you love when that happens? Right when you need to get it to the 38 to the.
Okay.
So, yeah, they
did.
Big time. They won it big time, which makes it even more frustrating that you shot so poorly. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity, but you couldn't get there. The reason why I brought it to Jabari Smith Jr. in particular was you compare him to Tari Eason. I feel like they are mm-hmm. two guys that give you similar things. Mm-hmm. Some outside shooting, some defense, obviously. And you know, an ability to score in some moments. Jabari's supposed to be more of that, mm-hmm. and it feels like you're getting more of that consistently with Tari when he's healthy.
It feels that way because I think you are. Yeah, I think you are. You know what's interesting also? Length on the perimeter shouldn't really bother this team as much because when healthy, it's better. You know, it's long and it's got the ability to defend the perimeter with other bigs. But last night, they were getting exposed. What's that, Avija?
Oh, yeah, Denny Avdija.
I'm
going to have a mea culpa to some degree with Denny Avdija, because if you were listening, I think a week or two ago when B. Scott was in mm-hmm. for John, I was mentioning that the All-Star numbers and the returns still look like this, have Denny Avdija with more votes than both Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no way that should be the case. Now, more of that was based off of, this is a city of how many umpteen million people, mm-hmm. and then you have the international flair of the Turkish folks that I imagine should be voting for Alperen Şengün. they should be hitting harder than Portland fans.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
Denny out there put 41 on your head top.
41.
And some of that was attacking Jabari Smith Jr.
Saying. Length shouldn't really bother this team on the perimeter.
Well, I don't think it was I think it was the speed.
It was, but I'm saying he's 6'8 with speed.
Yeah.
And he knows where he's going. And so to be able to be tall enough to take that one step or whatever it is, drive, and still get up, I think that's what's hurting them. But we'll see. Clearly, it hasn't been the best right now for Jabari.
Can I give you an interesting number that I saw with Jabari? Because it feels like this was one of those things where this is a feeling, but let me see if the numbers back this up. In wins, Jabari Smith Jr., 127 offensive rating, 103 defensive rating. So his net rating is a plus 24, yeah. Basically. He's showing up big time for you, just generally, offense, defensively, when you get wins. When you lose, a 112 offensive rating and a defensive rating of 123, a negative 11 thereabouts offense or net rating. When you are losing games, Jabari Smith Jr. is very, very is like he's negative in.
Is that him or is that matchup?
And that's a good question. I don't have that. This is not going to be telling. This is just a overarching broad strokes.
The matchup was overwhelming for him.
I agree. Yeah. But I think that it points to something, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe I'm reaching here and this is too much when it comes to Jabari, but it does feel like Jabari, not quite a bellwether, but he should be a guy that makes an impact, especially when you're missing an Alperen Şengün, where you go, I should expect Jabari, especially as he's doing a little bit of cosplay of trying to be Kevin Durant, I should be able to lean on you a little bit more to give me a buck in a way. Even maybe manufacture a few of them for yourself, but then also give me a little bit more on defense. And it feels like when you need, or at least wins and losses is not an easy thing because, obviously the loss dictates that you did not play as well as you would have otherwise you would have won.
Right.
But that clear disparity shows that for him, when he's in, when you lose the game, it's in part because he did not show up nearly in the same way as he shows up when he wins. And it should not be that big of a disparity for a dude who's supposed to be integral to what you're doing.
It does make me wonder about, just the defensive mindset that he has. Is it viral? is it viral?
I don't know how much it's a mindset. And that's the thing. That's also a little scary is just why. And maybe that's something I need to do some level of research on, a little study to see if I could find out. But because that is important. Mm-hmm. But for me, the idea that you have such a big variation is the word I was thinking for. Thank you. In his performance is problematic if he's going to be a starter that has a lot of minutes, especially when you're looking at someone like Tari, who now that he's stepping up into a starting role, you're getting more consistency out of him. He was a split second away from winning you this basketball game.
Yeah.
There haven't been enough of those moments for Jabari Smith Jr.
I keep going back to, is this – it's not physical. We know that.
No, he's got the physicality and the capability. In fact, he had a 15-game stretch of looking like, oh, okay, here it is. This is what we were waiting for when you drafted him number 3 overall.
Yeah. Hmm.
And maybe it's just he needs to find the consistency of it, but it's been a number of years now as well.
Mm-hmm. It has been, and how do you play it though from here? Because you can't not play him, and that's what I'm wondering about, like how they use him on the perimeter.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't maybe this is a conversation of does he need to start? Does this need to shift a little bit there? And a text came in when we started the segment. Funny enough, from the 713. I think we need to have an Ime Udoka conversation. There's far too much talent for the offense to look as bad as it does. He needs to find an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Like,
we
like
talked about that last season, to be honest.
And there's some of the things where you're limited by not having the initiator offensively.
Yeah.
Portland also did a thing that, to some degree, that the Suns did, which is getting into passing lanes and creating turnovers. That's something that I think is a book on this team, and I don't know how you get out of that. But yeah, I think that there's some offensive things that are there for you that you need to be able to make it easier for some of these guys' talents to show up.
Yeah.
But even the Jabari thing, this is also Ime. Ime is going to have to show just how good of a coach he is, and we believe him to be a very good one. So I think I have confidence that he finds it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to have to demonstrate how good of a coach he is because this disparity for Jabari isn't a good.
I think that's a secondary conversation that as Figgy said. We've been having.
Yeah, I think we had that conversation when they got Kevin Durant where we was like, man, this is cool, but, we can't have it all on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And, we need some type of structure.
Yeah. And just to put a bow on something we were talking about earlier, my great friend, Captain Dean Thomas from the Bite Me Fishing Show, the Bite Me podcast, we're talking about what the tattoo industry is going to be like. If
the Texans win the Super Bowl?
Texans win the Super Bowl.
I can only imagine.
A bicep tattoo of Texans Super Bowl and logo. He said probably $300 to $500. You can get it for less if you want an infection.
Yeah, so you should probably do $3,500 then, huh?
Damn, I didn't know it was that much.
You can swing it though, Lopez.
I thought it was going to be at least about, I mean, probably about $200.
He said $300 to $500.
Yeah, you might be getting an infection though. That's the problem here.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking.
He's got some sweet tats.
I guess it depends. Yeah, he do. I actually was talking about going to his tattoo guy at one point.
Is that right?
Yeah, this was years ago, but I was thinking just the regular Texans logo, just on your forearm or something like that. Would that be like?
Well, I said logo with like Super Bowl champs.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So there's some text on it. So that text is raising
that. That make about right. That sounds about right.
Dude. I like talking like I have no idea what's happening. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, where the Texans have made an acquisition to their team, and also you realize college football semifinals start tonight. We talk about that and more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on a Thursday in the loop. Yesterday, Rockets fall to the Portland Trail Blazers on an overturned tip-in game winner, just this close, literally this close, fingertip away from getting a victory in Portland. Unfortunately, it'll go down in the win-loss column as a loss. And if you look at the box score, you'll understand why. There's two things that are very clear. One, the Rockets shoot in the 30%, in the 30s from the field.
8 for 37?
Yeah, in the 20s for shooting from 3-point. Yeah. You just don't win basketball games like that.
Not in today's NBA.
Maybe you could give them some credit for managing to make it a down to the final second game, considering that they simply could not knock down shots in this game. Yeah. But they do that. The other thing that you could look at in the box score and see some sort of the tail of the game is, hey, Denny Avdija. Apparently, he's been listening to this very program, and he was like, I don't like the Reggies out here talking about these dudes or me not deserving to be seventh in the All-Star voting in the West, because he dropped 41 of them things. Mm-hmm. Now
that was for you.
Yes, for me in particular, and I felt it.
He pointed to you.
Yeah. This one, he sure did.
This one for you.
He called me a B-word, too. I don't know how. Nobody else saw it. Y'all ain't seen it on Space City? He said, Reggie's... No, nah, but 13 of 15 from the free throw line, and when Tari Eason was asked after the game, What made Denny Avdija so...
What did he say, zebras?
Zebras. Zebras. Yeah. He repeated that word.
Zebras?
Very,
zebras.
Think he'll get very clear how the Rockets felt about the officiating in this game. But Denny Avdija, hey, dog, I get it. You're really good. I still think the Houston boys should have more votes. But damn, man, you ain't had to do them like that.
Yeah.
I think, actually, though, one of the good things on the night happened before the game. Ime Udoka, speaking to the media, gave a little update on Alperen Şengün.
Do you have any updates on Şengün, a timetable for him?
Not specifically, but he is getting better. He's had some nice workouts. The swelling's gone down, pain's gone down. And I think we anticipate having him back sooner than we had hoped, but still a week or so away.
First of all, now that's an injury update.
Who is that directed at, John Lopez?
I'm just saying. Not necessarily saying, just saying. That
who
is
are
an
you
injury.
Who are you talking about?
That
man?
Is an injury. You can just
generally
he could be talking about two different that organization.
The other two organizations who he's talking to, clearly.
I mean, how good was that? Not really, but you know, feeling better, swelling's down.
It could be so simple.
What's wrong with no update?
Yeah, I'm just
I'll
saying.
Let you know when I find out.
Yeah,
what's wrong
you
with
know
that?
When I know. Come on, you guys.
It was nice.
You guys had to be thinking about that, too.
I actually wasn't, funny enough. I resigned myself to the life that we live.
He didn't say it was 68% healed.
I forgot about that one.
But it is good to know that, because before it was like two weeks at least, and we'll do some reevaluation.
Yeah.
This feels a lot better to get your MVP back. And, you know, seeing a game like last night, not to say that was the reason why they lost. Again, I would point to the idea of, you know, not being able to stop Denny Avdija and not being able to get shots to go first and foremost. But Alperen Şengün having your all-star player back on the court was going to be huge. So that's something to look forward to.
A week is still, you know, prolonged, but not as prolonged as it was. But I was picturing Dusty Baker just going in the back of the room saying, just say HIPAA. Just say HIPAA.
No, but good news when it comes to the Alperen Şengün front, to get him back out there, it's definitely lessened some of the burden on KD. Some other things that are popping, and I know this one, again, another place where, pointing directly at me, Reginald Atatula, the Texans made a move yesterday. I think it was around 4-something, 4:30, around then. They added a player to the practice squad.
Oh, wow, a new player.
They added a player. Well, new is a word. They added a player.
Breaking news sound.
Who's going to help their safety position. I don't know if you've heard of this gentleman.
Hey.
All right. Okay.
Justice Simmons?
Kayvon Wallace signed to the practice squad for the Texans. So it ends up being that they released him to get him off of the active roster, I'm guessing, and then put him on the practice squad. They can elevate him. I don't know that they'll have any issues with elevation limits in the playoffs. I think you can do that at will. So Kayvon Wallace, it stands to reason that he will still be your starting safety, doesn't it?
It certainly looks that way. I don't know how it makes me feel. necessarily, but at least there's some familiarity there. You know?
I feel good about it. I understand Kayvon Wallace had his susceptibilities in Week 18, and he might still have his susceptibilities in the playoffs. What he does, he has done pretty well, which is he's a thumper.
Mm-hmm.
He triggers well. He plays fast and physical in the way that D'Amico Ryans wants, and maybe more importantly, something that's not really about him, but he allows Kalen Bullock to play where he's best. I mean... Miles Bryant, salute to him for the versatility that he brings and his ability to play all these different spots. But it's very clear that they in that organization look up and see Miles Bryant, and they don't like him having to play as a box safety. They want him to be a back safety, and that moves Kalen Bullock into a place where now he's playing box safety. I would rather have one person who you go, I have a little bit of questions about one portion of his game than having two guys in places that are kind of out of the way.
100%.
So welcome back, Kayvon Wallace. Sorry to have worried about you at all, I guess, is the way I have to handle that. But Kayvon Wallace back on the roster, and it makes sense. It was the question that I was like, this has to be the way they're handling it, because that's why it was so foreign to me, because I was like, I don't know what your answer would be. And the answer was, Kayvon going to be back, and he is. Some other things that are popping. Did you see what's happening tonight?
Well, I'm locked in on what's happening tonight.
College football playoff semifinal number one comes up tonight. And it's the one that you've been enamored with, I've been enamored with, for off the field reasons, which is, what is the coaching staff going to look like for Ole Miss as they step into the ring with Miami for this game tonight, right?
This is, well, I'm going to say it. I'm wondering if you guys agree. They're definitely not going to be the same level of preparedness offensively, right? Ole Miss, they can't. They just can't. New faces literally overnight outside of the running backs coach and Charlie Weiss Jr.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I'm certain. And the reason why it's going to be difficult is that Miami is also very, very good defensively.
That's the second part of it.
Right.
Like, you're not facing a bunch of schmucks here defensively. They have gotten to where they are because of their defense. What they did with A&M, what they did with Ohio State. This is very intriguing. You know, neutral field, all things being equal, I would certainly pick Ole Miss over Miami. I don't know if I can right now, and it's going to be very intriguing to watch.
Yeah, it's the Fiesta Bowl, verbal Fiesta Bowl, because apparently the sponsors matter. That's the semifinal will be there in Phoenix. An interesting portion of this for me, Trinidad Chambliss, obviously, it's going to be the can he use his legs and how much will he be allowed to with Bain and the other gentleman whose name immediately left me, Asan. And I can't remember his last name, but the two incredible pass rushers for Miami, that's going to be the name of the game. Can you slow them down? But then on the other side for Miami is those guys penetrate. Trinidad Chambliss is capable of making them look stupid and getting upfield.
He does the old dipsy-doos and reverses a field. And
can you corral him and bring him down in a way that we asked the Texans earlier in this year? Are you going to be able to bring down those rushing quarterbacks? I think that's going to be one of the big names of the game in this one.
I agree.
On top of that, I mentioned the Fiesta Bowl. They're playing, obviously, at, what is it, State Farm Stadium there in Glendale?
Sure.
It is. Come on. Don't doubt me. It is. You know how that field turf operates, right?
Well, that's right. That's the panels, right?
That's the panels that they slid in. And you remember when they hosted the Super Bowl, was that last year?
Yeah.
That became a thing, the field turf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're talking about running quarterback here.
Yeah.
How does that factor in?
Ooh, that's a good one.
You know what I mean?
Gamblers want to know that information.
Well, I didn't think about it for y'all. I was just trying to, that I think that should be interesting. I'm in on Miami here. I'm buying into what they do defensively here. And I think that they're the 3-point favorite. So it's not like I'm going out on a crazy limb here. I think that those factors that add in here and an incredible pass rush is going to make it tough for an Ole Miss team that doesn't. I wonder what their game plan looks like and how adept it's going to be going into this game.
The good news is they still have Lacey, who, by the way, also announced that he's going to return next year to Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin was all about it. Lane Kiffin was going to try to get Lacy to go from Ole Miss to LSU, but that's
Kwon Lacy. I kept thinking Kyron Lacy, and I'm like, that's not the one.
Yeah,
it's not the one, Kwon Lacy.
And he's had a really good run the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, and I feel like I did not think about Tony again. Malachi Tony is going on the other side of the ball. I think he continues to be. Can they get the ball to him, and in what ways can they get the ball to him?
Every way.
And that's the thing is
every possible way.
If Carson Beck can have that connection, then you're going to have a really bad time. And it's Mesidor, Keem Mesidor.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
That's the other defensive lineman. 10.5 sacks this year. crazy. All right. So there you go. That's a little bit of what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Oh, I didn't even mention. Did you see that a supposed superstar got traded in the NBA last night?
Oh, I saw that. I actually was kind of intrigued by it.
Okay, what you got?
Well, just because obviously salary dump, and
that's the thing that's crazy.
And he wanted out, and now
kind of made history too.
They wanted him out.
I think
this was because people were like, "Oh yeah, Trae Young really wants to be with Washington." I was like, "Word!" I think that Trae Young looked around and was like, "They don't want me here, so where do they want me?"
Well,
Washington,
maybe.
Cool.
But now, what do the Hawks do? Is that an Anthony Davis thing?
It is an Anthony Davis. Yeah. I have it on pretty good authority. Yeah. This was a move to get his salary out of there so that they can create the space to go and acquire Anthony Davis. But you look at that 2018 draft class, and the top of it looks hilarious. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton, who did not stick, he's been with a number of teams.
He got torched the other night.
And deservedly so. Marvin Bagley is somewhere in the league. I don't know where he's at.
Yeah.
Trae Young has now gone from being the face of a franchise to being moved on. And he is spiritually a Wizards player, ain't he?
Mm-hmm.
Just over there. Don't go play no defense. Just score some buckets. It's cool.
Yeah.
And then Luka Doncic, who was clearly the best of what they did before you get like all the way to pick number 11, where Shea was drafted.
Where'd he come from?
Atlanta.
the Atlanta trade happened there, but then even Dallas has moved on from him. What a weird draft that one was. So, and all the teams have managed to lose off.
So Atlanta pretty much traded Luka for Trae Young and ended up with C.J. McCollum somehow.
And Corey Kispert. Don't forget the shooter Corey Kispert. So that's going to go well for him.
C.J. McCollum.
Yikes.
Man, the
once
East
again. Atlanta's going to Atlanta. Is that what we're saying here?
One, and then the East is a mess.
Yeah,
the East is very, very nasty business. All right, you're in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go behind enemy lines for this playoff game with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll talk to Nick Faribault, who covers them for Penn Live, and we'll do that next.